This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 4th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story from Chicago on how some squatters have moved into abandoned property, a victim of the foreclosure crisis. We'll also have a forecast coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Plans for a daycare facility next to downtown Champaign's Illinois Terminal are now in doubt. 15th District Congressman Tim Johnson has told the city and the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District that he won't back federal funds for the project. The city and the MTD had hoped to use $2.3 million for the facility, which would have let parents ride the bus to both daycare and work or school. The MTD had wanted to add on to the terminal with additional commercial space. But Johnson spokesman Phil Bloomer says the Republican doesn't like the changes to the original plan, which was for a park-and-ride daycare facility on the fringe of the University of Illinois campus.
The congressman wasn't kept abreast of this by the people he got the grant for, and so that was a concern. He has concerns about whether it makes sense to put it in the core of the city, to be part of a large commercial space competing with other landlords in the downtown Champaign area.
The campus child care center plan was dropped with a developer opening a private facility. MTD Director Bill Volk isn't giving up on the Illinois Terminal concept.
Doesn't look promising as far as this funding is concerned, but certainly a daycare facility located in close proximity to Illinois Terminal would be something that we would certainly be interested in.
However, Champaign City Council members have deferred on an agreement with the MTD to study the proposal. An excavating firm is being accused of endangering the lives of workers at two construction sites, including one in Champaign. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration has proposed a $247,000 fine against Stark Excavating, based in Bloomington. Department of Labor spokesman Brad Mitchell says the violations took place last summer at a site in Peoria and near the Burnham Project in Champaign, where a supermarket is going up.
We're alleging that they failed to set the spoil pile, that is the materials excavated from the trench, far enough from the trench itself so that they would not cave back in or roll back in. Also, tools and the pipe that they were going to put in the trenches, those were far too close to the trench itself.
Stark has 15 days to correct the problem and pay the fine, request a meeting with OSHA, or contest the penalty. A written statement from the company says it plans to present its case to OSHA and it takes the safety of its employees seriously. Amtrak is dropping its opposition to the hotly debated sale of a suburban Chicago railway line. The passenger service says it's agreed with the company that's vying to purchase the Elgin, Joliet, and Eastern Railway that loops around Chicago. Amtrak had worried that Canadian National would stop maintaining other Chicago-area tracks if it purchased the EJ&E. It had feared that would jeopardize Amtrak service downstate to Champaign, Bloomington, and other cities. CN has now agreed to keep maintaining those tracks. But Amtrak spokesman Mark Maglieri says ending its opposition is not the same as active support for the sale. Many suburbs bitterly oppose CN's plans to move more than triple traffic on the former EJ&E. President-elect Barack Obama is staying away from the debate about whether former Illinois Governor George Ryan should be freed from prison. Ryan is serving a 6.5-year sentence after being convicted on federal corruption charges. Sam Hudzik has more.
George Ryan's lawyers last week asked President Bush to commute the former governor's sentence, but they shouldn't expect help from the president-elect. An Obama transition aide emailed a one-sentence statement on the issue. As the incoming president, the aide wrote, Obama doesn't feel it appropriate to involve himself in pardon and commutation decisions at this time. Obama's former colleague in the Senate, Dick Durbin, generated some buzz for saying Ryan should be freed from prison. The senator sent a letter to President Bush this week with that message. But Durbin told reporters he won't make that same request of Obama once he takes office. I'm Sam Hunzik.
State police cameras set up to nab speeders in highway work zones, but fewer than one in four violators is getting a ticket, as Sean Crawford explains.
Illinois has put hefty fines on driving fast through a work zone. To help enforce the law, the state police have vans equipped with cameras that capture license plate information. but the picture quality is sometimes poor, leaving the image unclear. That can make it impossible to ticket the offender, and many drivers are getting off the hook. Milt Sees is the Illinois Department of Transportation director and says efforts to improve the technology are underway. He says having the cameras in place is still a deterrent.
However, as a motorist, I know that the one thing that will cause me to check my speedometer more often is if I have to pay money for the privilege of speeding. The conviction rate needs to be higher to impress on those motorists that we are serious about this.
There have been no work zone fatalities in Illinois since the cameras were introduced. Other factors that have led to fewer tickets being issued include difficulty tracking down out-of-state drivers. I'm Sean Crawford.
A proposed ordinance in Vermilion County, Illinois, addresses several rules for locating wind farms, but that measure won't be finalized until a public review process is completed next month. Much of the proposed ordinance came through suggestions from wind energy companies themselves, things like stipulations on the height of turbines, setbacks from houses and roads, and features that prohibit a person from climbing the turbines. The Vermilion County Board posted the ordinance for public review earlier this week. It'll vote on it in January. Todd Lee is with the economic development group Vermilion Advantage. It's been working with at least four developers that have considered wind farms in the county. Lee's also talking with many landowners about the ordinance. He says most comments are positive, but a few people have shown concerns.
Most of the concerns are very legitimate. You know, I've heard from some waterfowl hunters regarding local geese and duck routes. Typical challenge that the wind energy companies understand, and they have language in there, is ice coming off the blades. Those types of things are people have questions about.
Vermilion County has no countywide zoning, so the ordinance will have to be developed to protect the rights of landowners who can decide if they want to lease their property. The proposed ordinance was put together by County Board Member Bill Donahue, who says the measure was also largely based on what other communities have in place. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Sometimes one person's misfortune can become another's opportunity. That's what's happened to a foreclosed building in Chicago. The owner abandoned the property, and the bank has been unable to sell. Now, several families are living there rent-free. Illinois Public Radio's Chip Mitchell reports on how they get by.
Billy Lopez, who asks that we not use his real name, doesn't have many options to heat his apartment. He's got a small space heater near the old couch he sleeps on, and he leaves a couple burners of his gas stove on high.
I'm using the stove as, you know, to keep myself warm, but not a boil water. It's good, like a humidity feeling and everything, you know, where you can breathe the air. Because I got asthma and everything, so I got boiled water.
How many hours a day is the stove running?
Well, I've been running it for the last couple of days and everything, because sometimes it gets too low.
Lopez lives in a three flat in Chicago's Humboldt Park neighborhood. An ex-girlfriend lives on the first floor. She's the one who invited Lopez to move into the basement space last year. She was a legitimate tenant, but now she says she doesn't know who to pay rent to. No one in the building has paid any rent or utilities since the landlords moved out more than a year ago. A deed filed with Cook County shows that one of the nation's largest banks foreclosed on the property months ago. A county court summons also names that bank and alleges 10 building code violations. The squatters asked us not to report the bank's name.
Okay.
Squatting successfully is tricky. Lopez removes a piece of the basement wall to show me three natural gas meters.
Cops came over here one time. It came with a gas company and everything.
Lopez points to where the gas guys put a lock on the meters, but he says the tenants found a workaround.
All we had to do was grab a pair of pliers, a plumbing pipe and everything, and we just busted them out, turned everybody back on real quick and everything.
How long was the gas off?
A couple hours.
And who's footing the bill?
We're not paying. You guys are paying for the gas and everything, or the state or the city, I don't know who it is.
What alarms People's Gas spokesman Rod Sierra is not just that people are freeloading.
Having someone use their gas burners on their stove to heat their apartment is extremely dangerous, carbon monoxide being the most dangerous thing. They are not properly vented to the outside of a house like a furnace would be. They're putting at risk not only their own lives, but anyone else who's in that building and anyone else in the surrounding neighborhood.
Sierra says that's because many Chicago homes are built close together, so any fire could spread from one building to another. It would be tough to keep track of how many people are squatting in foreclosed homes in the Chicago area. The Cook County Sheriff's Department and some local realtors say they've noticed more of the activity over the last year or so.
A couple of hard shots.
Lopez is 48. He drinks a lot and smokes crack cocaine. He has a learning disability and he's been in prison. He has to survive without much income. Lopez takes me out front to explain how he and the other tenants outwitted the city's Department of Water Management, which tried to shut off their supply.
After they left, we just, you know, we got a couple people in the neighborhood, you know, we turned the water back on, so everybody's got, you know, everybody's got water right now. Everything's all good right now.
As for the electricity, Lopez says ComEd has left the juice running. Because the bank that owns this building isn't keeping tabs on the place, Lopez is free to receive a steady stream of visitors.
Who that?
Me, yeah, so tell me $5 worth.
Lopez says he deals crack and marijuana.
I got raided by police officers, 2 times with canines for narcotics, drug trafficking and everything, never found nothing. They don't keep my stuff down here.
Lopez says he's not planning to live as a squatter forever.
My kids all want to take me out of here already.
What do you want to do?
I want to get the hell out of here and get a job, and that's what I'm looking for. Whatever it takes to make an honest buck, and I do it.
For now, though, Lopez says he's staying put in the basement.
You know.
I'm Chip Mitchell.
Our forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for a sunny day in Champaign-Urbana and cold, the high of around 29, with winds in the west and northwest at 8 to 16 miles an hour. In northern Illinois and Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers and flurries. In central sections in southeast Indiana, a mix of clouds and sun, and sunny the further south you go. Highs from only 21 in northwest Illinois to 37 far south. For tonight, in the north, cloudy with scattered snow showers and flurries. Central sections will see partly to mostly cloudy skies with scattered flurries. In the south, partly cloudy. Lows from only 2 above in northwest Illinois to 22 far south, down to 12 in Champaign-Urbana with a few flurries overnight. Tomorrow, in northern Indiana, cloudy with scattered snow showers and flurries, but elsewhere, mostly sunny and cold again. Highs from 21 in northern Illinois to 36 far south, 26 in Champaign-Urbana. Increasing clouds tomorrow night with light snow arriving toward daybreak, the low of around 20. And periods of snow on Saturday, the high 32, clearing late Saturday night, the low 14. And then sunny early Sunday, then increasing clouds and a high of 27. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 4th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.